Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. We consider ourselves most fortunate indeed to have this opportunity to talk with you about the Bible, the Church, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our purpose in these studies is to speak the truth in love. At no time do we plan to be unkind or sarcastic, but we do hope to teach the Scriptures enthusiastically and uncompromisingly. Your time and ours are too valuable for any other approach. The past three Sundays' lessons have been devoted to studying themes from the book of Hebrews. In our first lesson, we studied some scriptures relating to God. We concluded that while we may know God's glory, His handiwork, His power, and His divinity by examining the material universe, we can know His will only as He chooses to reveal His will to men. The Hebrew writer affirmed, "God hath spoken," Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Paul sheds abundant light on the same theme in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 13. Last Sunday, I discussed God's revelation through Christ. I do not for one moment deny that God spoke in the Old Testament. The Hebrew writer said, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." The law of Moses was just as inspired as is the gospel. Both came from God. However, the law of Moses was designed to achieve certain purposes and then to be removed. Paul argued that it has been nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. I emphasized last Sunday that the Old Covenant could not accomplish all that God desired. Please listen to the Hebrew writer. "For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." Hebrews 8, 7 and 13. It should be perfectly clear that men are no longer required to obey the commands and precepts of the law of Moses, not even the Ten Commandments. All of the law has been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. But if the Ten Commandments have been removed, is not a man free to commit adultery, dishonor his parents, covet, and so on? Such a reasoning cannot be sustained. Does one refuse to commit adultery just because the law forbade it? I want you to listen to this quotation from the Sermon on the Mount. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Matthew 5, 27 and 28. If one never heard of the Ten Commandments, he would still know it was wrong to commit adultery, to covet, to steal, because the New Testament teaches that these activities are sinful. God no longer speaks through Moses and the prophets. He speaks through His Son. These words from Hebrews 1 make that truth very plain. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. I am not for one moment questioning the fact of God speaking through Moses and the prophets. However, I am affirming that God no longer speaks through them. For the Christian era, Jesus Christ is God's spokesman, God's prophet. Hebrews 1 discusses God's reasons for selecting His Son to be His prophet. This chapter presents a contrast between Jesus Christ and the angels. Why? Because the Old Testament was given to Moses through the angels. Now, as Jesus Christ is greater than the angels, so the gospel is much greater than the law that was given through Moses. As the Son is that much greater than a servant, So the gospel given by the Son is greater than the law given through the servant. Listen to the Hebrew writer. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hebrews 3:5-6. Before we discuss the differences between the Son and the angels, let us note this truth in passing. Hebrews 1 not only teaches that Jesus Christ is our prophet, but that he is also our king and our high priest. Verse 3 refers to Christ's work of purging our sins. Hebrews 7 has an extensive discussion of Christ as our high priest. Listen to these verses. But this man, that is Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have an infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Hebrews 7:24-28. The fact that Jesus Christ is also our King is stated in these words. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3. Later in the Hebrew letter, we are told that through Christ we have received a kingdom which cannot be removed. Hebrews 12:28. Jesus Christ began his imperial reign on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:29-36. And will reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. Then he will deliver the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15:24-26. Since Jesus is superior to either Moses or the prophets, then the revelation that God gave through him is better in every way than the law given by them. As I indicated last Sunday, the word better is one of the key words to understanding the book of Hebrews. Please notice the use of the word better in these passages. Jesus was made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hebrews 1:4. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Hebrews 7:19-22. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hebrews 8:6. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Hebrews 9:23. The great heroes of faith are chronicled in Hebrews 11. The Hebrew writer said of these men and women, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hebrews 11:39-40. Finally, the author of Hebrews made these comparisons between the first covenant and the second. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words. Which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned, or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Hebrews 12:18-25. Now please turn back to Hebrews 1, and let us notice why God has spoken through his Son in this dispensation and not through someone else. First, God has spoken through Jesus because he is the heir of all things. And all of these quotations now from Hebrews 1, and that's verse 2. Paul referred to Christians as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. Since Jesus is the firstborn of every creature, and since God has given him preeminence in all things, then God has appointed him heir of all things. Second, God has spoken through his Son because the Son is the Creator. Notice the Hebrew writer's expression of this truth. By whom, that is my Christ, also he made the world. The concept of Christ as Creator should not come as a surprise to any knowledgeable Bible student. John the Apostle wrote these words of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:1-3. The book of Colossians also asserts that Jesus was both the Creator and the Sustainer of the world. For in him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Colossians 1:16-17. These passages teach that Jesus Christ was exalted before the foundation of the world, and that he existed before the world came into being, that he was the world's creator, and that by him all things consist or stick together. This was the one by whom our Heavenly Father chose to reveal his final message to mankind. You can surely see that he is superior to Moses and to the prophets. Even if we were given an option between the Old Testament and the New, which we are not, you can understand why we should choose the New. The New Covenant is superior in every way to the Old, and that includes the quality of the lawgiver. The third reason for God's choosing his Son as our prophet is that Christ is God's image. Jesus is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Hebrews 1:3. Let us examine these statements regarding Christ. Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. The English word brightness is translated from a Greek word meaning radiance, effulgence. The glory of God expresses all that he is in his nature and his actings and their manifestation. Wisdom is suggested in this word. Paul called Jesus Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. The Hebrew writer also affirms that Jesus is the express image of God. The Greek word translated image originally referred to a tool for engraving. Then it came to mean the impression made by such a tool. A stamp or a seal makes an imprint that is like what is on the stamp or seal. Would you like to know whom God is like? The Scriptures teach that God is like Jesus Christ. The word image in Hebrews 1:3 makes that very plain. Please listen to other passages that teach the same truth. Paul wrote as follows to the church in Colossae. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Colossians 1:15, 17, and 18. The Apostle John affirmed that no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared Him. The word declared means to interpret, to explain, to reveal. Jesus Christ is an explanation, a revelation, an exegesis of Almighty God. The more one knows about Jesus, the more he knows about God. That was the Lord's reason for saying to Philip, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." John 14:9. The fourth reason suggested by the Hebrew writer regarding God's revelation of His final will through His Son is that Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power. Verse 2 of Hebrews 1 presents Jesus as the Creator, which we've already discussed. And this verse tells us that He holds the world together. He is the sustainer of the universe. He not only made the world, but it sticks together by and through Him. We often speak of the laws of nature, and we have no problems with that. But instead, we might do better to speak of the mind of Christ as it manifests itself in the realm of nature. The fifth reason for God speaking to us through His Son and not through Moses and the prophets pertains to Christ's priesthood. The Hebrew writer says concerning Christ, "He had by Himself purged our sins." Verse 3. I've already spoken of Christ's priesthood, but there is one aspect of Christ's provision for our sins that we need to mention in passing. Jesus was not only our high priest, but He was the sacrifice that God demanded to redeem men from their sins. Hebrews denies that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. But Jesus, by His own blood, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In the same context, the author affirms that the blood of Christ will purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews 9:12-14. Paul emphasizes the same truth in his letter to the Ephesians. He exhorts husbands to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for it. Ephesians 5:25. The willingness of Christ to sacrifice Himself for our sins makes Him an ideal spokesman for God. God has spoken to man through Christ because Christ is divinely ordained King whom God sent to rule over His people. The Hebrew writer taught that when Jesus had purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Verse 3. The same thought is recorded in Hebrews 8:1-2. "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man." Finally, God has spoken to men of this dispensation by Christ, because the Son is greater in every way than the angels. Why would the writer of this great book make this particular comparison, that Jesus Christ is greater than the angels? Please listen to an explanation given by the Apostle Paul. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Galatians 3:19. The writer of Hebrews appears to reason as follows. Since Jesus is greater in every way than the angels, through whom God gave the old covenant to Moses and to the Israelites, then the gospel of Jesus Christ is superior in every way to the law of Moses. We can surely understand the impressiveness of this argument. Now look carefully at these statements from Hebrews 1. Jesus Christ was made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Verse 4. While the angels were messengers of God in the giving of the law, Acts 7:53, Jesus Christ is God incarnate and superior in every way to the angels. The author of Hebrews next introduces 7 Old Testament passages to sustain his statement, his argument, that Jesus is better than the angels. For unto which of the angels did God say at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? Verse 5. The truth of the matter is that God never addressed any angel in such a fashion, but over and over God calls Jesus the Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. Matthew 17:5. The Old Testament passage, incidentally, which the Hebrew writer quoted, was Psalm 2:7. The second passage from the Old Testament, which the author quotes, was 2 Samuel 7:14. Listen to the Hebrew writer. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son? God did not say that to any angel, but he did say it to his Son. Hebrews next refers to Psalm 97:7, which in the Septuagint reads, Worship him, all you angels. Please notice the Hebrew writer's use of that passage from the Psalms. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. Verse 6. As the one who is worshipped is greater than the one who does the worshipping, so Jesus Christ is that much greater than the angels. Let us also read verse 7 in this connection. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. This quotation from the Old Testament is Psalm 104:4. In contrast to what God affirmed about the angels, listen to what God said about the Son. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Let me repeat that statement. God is the author. He is the one who is speaking, and he says concerning Jesus Christ, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Verses 8 and 9. These words are from Psalm 45:6 and 7. Have you noticed in each of these quotations that God himself is regarded as the ultimate source? For unto which of the angels said he, God, at any time? Verse 5. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world. Verse 6. And of the angels he saith. Verse 7. The fact that God is the ultimate author of these scriptural quotations has particular significance for verses 8 and 9, which I mentioned a moment ago. God the Father, Jehovah God, was addressing God the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, when he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. These statements simply must not be overlooked. They teach unquestionably the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have the time to analyze the rest of this chapter. Please listen carefully as I read it to you. God continues as the speaker. And thou, Lord, speaking of Jesus, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Verses 10 through 12. These words are quoted from Psalm 102, 25 through 27. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all, that is, the angels, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to them which shall be the heirs of salvation? Verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 is a quotation from Psalm 110, 1. We have to close our lesson today. We shall interrupt our studies of Hebrews for other studies, but we plan to continue these studies on Hebrews at a later date. May we invite you to continue to listen every Sunday morning to our radio program. If you have questions or comments or criticisms, we invite those, and I mean that sincerely. Again, we thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.